Our scripture reading this morning is from the second letter to Timothy, Timothy being Paul's special disciple. He writes great wisdom to this young man. In the second chapter, beginning at the 8th verse, we find these words: "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure: if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good and only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly examining the word of truth." The word of truth for you today. The Nobel Peace Prize. Since 1901, it has been awarded 99 times. Over the years, 130 laureates have received it. 89 men, 17 women, and 24 organizations. Last October, the prize went to Dennis Mukwege and Nadia Murad for their efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. In 2017, the Nobel was given to an international campaign, abolish nuclear weapons. 10 years ago, Barack Obama received the prize for his efforts to strengthen international diplomacy. 40 years ago, that was 1979, the year of the Sony Walkman, the Burton Snowboard, the McDonald's Happy Meal, and leg warmers. In 1979, 40 years ago, the number of years the Israelites had wandered in the wilderness. 40 years is an amount of time that takes for a new generation to arise. Over the course of four decades, people can move from one era to another. 40 years ago, on October 17th, Mother Teresa of Calcutta was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. She heard a call from God to help the poor, and she founded a group called the Missionaries of Charity. In India, Mother Teresa and her helpers built homes for orphans, nursing homes for lepers, and hospices for the terminally ill. According to the Nobel website, she was a saint in the gutter. And her Nobel Peace Prize acceptance award, she said, "I am sure this award is going to bring understanding, love between the rich and the poor. That is why Jesus came to earth, to proclaim the good news to the poor." And though this award and through all of us gathered here today, we are wanting to go and proclaim the good news to the poor that God loves them, and that we love them, and that they are somebody to us. that they too have been created by the same loving hand of God to love and to be loved. Our poor people are great people, are very lovable people. They don't need our pity and sympathy. They need our understanding love. A particular word pops up again and again in these lines of Mother Teresa's speech. The word is love. Mother Teresa believed that the award was going to bring an understanding love between the rich and the poor. She stressed that God loved the poor and that she loved them. And that the poor have been created by the same loving hand of God to love and to be loved. She saw the poor as very lovable people who need nothing more than understanding love. The group that Mother Teresa founded in 1950 was called the Missionaries of Charity, an organization that now has more than 5,000 members, and they are focused on charity. But unfortunately, that term charity is often misunderstood. So often we think of charity as an act of giving to help people in need, typically in the form of money. But the word charity comes from the Latin word caritas, which means affection. Charity is fundamentally Christian love and affection, not simply a monetary gift. And we all should be missionaries of charity, of Christian love and affection. 40 years have passed since Mother Teresa gave her speech, and she died in 1997 and was declared a saint in 2016. A new generation of Christians has arisen, and we've moved from one era to another. How are we doing in the goal of creating an understanding love between the rich and the poor? How are we doing with Christian love and affection? In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul challenges his youngest colleague by saying, "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. This is my gospel." When we remember Jesus Christ, we remember his words about love, words which are not just so much fuzzy feelings as they are a call to action. "Love your enemies," commands Jesus, "and pray for those who persecute you." When asked which of the commandments is the greatest, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And this is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is likewise. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus also gives the order, "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High." "If you love me," says Jesus, "you will keep my commandments. By this everyone will know you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So what does it mean to remember Jesus? Love your enemies. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love Jesus. Love one another. Show so much love that you can lay your life down for your friends. In other words, be a missionary of charity. Jesus gives us a call to action in his words about love. He issues all his followers a daunting challenge, which is why the Apostle Paul admits that he suffered hardship as a Christian. But by saying this, he insists, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. And if we endure, we shall reign with him. Jesus wants us to know that our love to the fullest, Jesus wants us to show our love to the fullest and to show it to the very end of our lives. Through your acts of sacrificial love, he wants us to die and live with him as well as to endure and reign with him. The challenge is to love God, love neighbor, and even lay our life down for our friends. The world needs this kind of Christian love now more and more. In the United States, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And there is not much understanding love between the two. In 2015, according to the Economic Policy Institute, the top 1% of families took home on average 26 times the income as the bottom 99%. And everybody in this room would be in that 99%. Mother Teresa won the Nobel Peace Prize for reaching out to the poor with Christian love. She didn't judge them, but instead offered them assurance and assistance. Her loving actions were the way she remembered Jesus Christ raised from the dead, even though those actions caused her hardship. We can do the very same thing. We can seek to create an understanding love between the rich and the poor. In the novel City of Peace, a stranger appears at the door of Riverside Methodist Church on a Sunday morning. He says, "I've been out of work for a month and money is real tight. I could really use some food." "We've got a food pantry," says Harley Camden, the pastor, "and you're welcome to a bag of groceries." The short and thin with a stubbled beard, the middle-aged stranger looks to be a smoker and a heavy drinker. Harley has a lot to do before the Sunday service, and he feels annoyed that the stranger has ambushed him. But Harley has been in the business long enough to know that ministry happens in and through interruptions. So he decides to try to be patient. "I was delivering pizzas, but I wrecked my car," says the man as he starts to examine the shelves of canned food and dry goods. "They couldn't keep me on without a car. And I've been looking ever since, but it seems nobody's hiring." Harley stands nearby as the stranger slowly fills his bag, examining each food label. "Sorry to hear that," the pastor replies, wishing the guy would make his selections a little faster. "You know, I'm a pretty spiritual guy," says the man. When he finishes filling his bag, "I can feel things. People say I have a sixth sense. I knew the exact moment my brother died, even though he was far away. I feel the Spirit is here, right here in this church." "Really?" replies Harley. "Thank you." "No, thank you," says the man. "I appreciate the groceries." And then he slips out the back door and heads down the street, leaving Harley to marvel at people he's met who have a keen spiritual sensitivity. People with a built-in radios that can pick up stations nobody else can hear. In the City of Peace, Harley Camden discovers the truth of what Mother Teresa knew in 1979. Poor people are great people and are very lovable people, and they don't need our pity or our sympathy. They need our understanding love. All of us, rich or poor, are created by the same loving hand of God, made to love and be loved. So let's begin a new era in the life of the church, one in which we do our best to present ourselves as to God as a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. We can be Christians who actively love God, love neighbor, and lay our lives down for our friends. We can be missionaries of charity. Praise be to God. Amen.